Okay, anytime I want to start. Yeah. What? I'm not ready for this. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby, and we're talking about Spikeball today. Nothing but Spikeball.
Spikeball League. Yeah, it's quite famous, actually. There's been a lot of controversy. Of course, everyone remembers in the 1970s, the Spikeball lockout, the famous Spikeball lockout, when the league refused a player's request to start a union, and there was a lockout of players, an attempted strike. And then there was, of course, the Scab Spikeball, or Scab Ball, it was just later called, that infamous season. You know,
there was also the time we found out that the ball was actually a small Irishman.
Named Spike?
Yep.
That was also
Spikey O'Ball.
That was Spike O'Bally. That was quite a shocking revelation, actually. And it's weird that no one noticed because he had this gargantuan red beard that you thought would have been like pretty obvious.
But again, the shows were shot in black and white back then, so there's no way for anyone to tell.
That's true. You're right. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about
yourself? That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, we did play a lot of spike ball at work today. And the problem with that is I sweat.
It's very hot.
I sweat way more from playing spike ball than I ever do with work. And it was a busy day today.
Right.
So I was working up a sweat, but I was pouring after.
So you took a break from hard labor to go and exercise.
Do some exercise. That's right.
Very good.
That's right. And we've become so. I'm so keen on it now that I don't even have my lunch during lunch hour. Because that would cut into my half hour of playing time.
You just strap it to your arm and let your body absorb it through the day. The nutrients just go through your skin.
We seem to have a gentleman's agreement that we're not going to play spike ball for first break. So I eat my lunch at 10 in the morning.
Oh.
And then I'll have an apple or whatever at lunchtime if I can fit it in. Or after lunch.
Do you ever spike the apple just
for fun? Sneakily, yes, I spike the apple just for fun. But, you know, I'm not a great athlete. I'm not going to make any claims to that, but I am a pretty good spikeball player. I got to tell you, pretty good spikeball player. I've had pretty good
now
plays.
Now, do you feel better about yourself than you did from the frisbee days?
Actually, my frisbee is amazingly improved. I am really proud of how well I can. When I started, I was terrible. Literally, the most terrible frisbee player you can imagine. Like, I would throw it and it would just maybe go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure where.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, I was maybe like a pitcher looking off. A player, like I would be looking at one person, and it would go to someone else, and I would be satisfied with that. But yeah, I have really improved on my frisbee throwing. It was just, I don't know, it was the simplest thing in the world. Just put a little more wrist action in it. That's all I've done.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's
so
just weird.
Practice makes better.
It's a weird, yeah, that's probably what part of what it is. But I played frisbee as a kid.
Okay.
But I have a weird feeling that I never knew how to throw the frisbee all that time.
Mm.
That I was just doing the most ridiculously bad throws.
Well,
and we put up with it by getting closer to each other.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I feel the same way about running. I remember like once upon a time, like when I was a teenager, someone showed me how to run.
Yeah.
Made me so angry that no one ever showed me how to run when I was a kid. And I was like in track and field.
Yeah.
You think like,
yeah.
Show me how to do this. You know, like the coach or anyone would have gone, hey, you're running flat-footed like a idiot. That's not how you run. Run on the balls of your feet, and then you run fast. And I was like, oh, well, this is okay. I now know how to do it. I'm graduated. Mm-hmm. It's done. Never use this again. Bye. Thanks for not telling me.
I can see that. I feel that way about like baseball and things that I played as like league sports as a kid was that, you know, you were just kind of decided as being no good.
Right.
And then you're just, sort of shunted out into the middle of nowhere. Go there and just pick grass for a while, you know.
Yep.
Wait to go yell at you and say, oh, let's hear some chatter out there. Let's hear some chatter.
Yeah, go out there and count some birds. See how many birds fly overhead.
It's really hard to like, care.
Seven birds.
Yeah.
We did, just before the show today, I was buying comic books from a local store, The Eighth Dimension.
Nerd.
Yep. And got asked the question that the gentleman who works there asked me every week when I say I'm doing the podcast.
Oh, what are you going to talk about?
That's right.
Everyone asks me that too at work.
Yeah.
They haven't quite clued in.
What's the topic?
Yeah, yeah.
And every week I say, we just wing it.
Yeah, no topic.
Right. And so then, I'm thinking like he might be trying to tell us the right way of doing the podcast and just hoping that 1 week we'll go, oh, we should think of a topic.
Do a topic and then do a show.
Yeah, that's right. Have a reason to have a discussion and then go on. Because we're doing the weird thing that people do when they actually have a conversation with a friend, which is like, go, hey, how's it going? Good, good. And you don't plan what you're going to say.
Yeah,
and then
you
go and you have a conversation. Somehow you kill an hour and a half. And then you get a bunch of people commenting on your message board about it, going, good for you guys, being able to open up like that. And we go, what, did I open up like something? Oh, my God, I didn't mean to. What did I say? Rewind that tape. Oh, well. Mm. By the way, thank you very much for all the comments on our board about last week's talk about anxiety.
Opening up.
Yeah.
For revealing our inner pearl.
Right. And this week, it's all bragging about Spikeball.
I'm gonna let it hang out.
That's right.
You know what? I just want to go back a little bit on that topic. I want to go back on that topic from last week.
Okay.
Because I feel like I said something that maybe you took the wrong way, and we kind of derailed.
Oh, okay.
Something a little bit.
Sure.
Which is, I said it was good. I said some people say I'm good looking, and you're like, well, what does that get you in life? Mm-hmm. Which is not what I meant. And I feel like we kind of went off on a weird tangent about whether good looking or being whatever is good or bad.
Right. Though but you did get a couple of people writing and saying you were good looking.
That was very nice of them. I appreciate that. And that's the thing, though. This is what I was trying to say. When I grew up, for whatever reason, our generation of parents, we talked about a little bit about this after the show. Our mm-hmm. generation of parents didn't want us to get a big head. Apparently, that was a terrible thing mm-hmm. for your children to like think highly of themselves.
That's right. And that's why that generation grew up to be Donald Trump. Humble people.
Humble people.
A humble generation.
That's right. That's right. So they didn't want us to get a big head. So like when I was a kid, my mom carefully, I don't know why she did this, but she carefully inculcated the idea into me, like, you know, carefully trained me to think of myself as ugly, dumb, not very funny, not very talented. So that way I would never get a big head about myself.
Now, did she think you thought you were very funny and
it's
handsome?
Not,
and so
no, I didn't think of myself.
Trying to take it down a notch.
She didn't think of me that way, but what she wanted was that all of us in the family, my brothers and I, no one was above anyone else. You know, you know, I may be smarter than my brothers, but that's not good. So Dave, take him down a bit. Let him know, not as smart as he thinks he is. That kind of a dumb guy. And I remember, this seems weird, but it wasn't until grade 12, so I was quite old, that a teacher talked to me after class, because I was quite frustrated during a discussion, because no one seemed to understand what I was saying. It was sort of training for Sneaky Dragon. And I was just really frustrated, and I was trying to make a point, and I just wasn't going over. And so she came after class, and she said, Dave, you know, not everyone is as smart as you are. And, you know, so sometimes it can take people a long time to figure out what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind, the idea that not everyone was as smart as me. Like, that was, like, something that was possible, that I could be smarter than other people. Mm-hmm. Like, it never would occur to me. And so the problem for me is that because I've been carefully trained to think of myself that way, is if someone says to me, you're a pretty good-looking guy, Dave, blah, 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 you know, it's, you know, apropos of nothing, or right. maybe this slate, you know, you might understand this. Mm-hmm. But when I hear that, my inner voice is, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm ugly. I'm a fat person. I'm a this person. And so it creates this weird feedback in my mind that creates this negative thing. It doesn't so much now.
Right.
But this is something I live with for a long time.
Do you think that's a body dysmorphic thing of you?
Oh, yeah. I have total bad body image. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I go to the gym and stuff like that, right?
Okay.
Is to make myself better.
And when you make yourself better, does it make you think that you're better? Or okay, as long as it doesn't win that fight.
Yeah, yeah. It's all part of that for sure. Like, I am really vain, and not like, and I don't think I come across as vain, but I'm very conscious of wanting to be the certain person, a certain way, because, you know, that's how I was brought up. So you have to like look like this, be like this, da da da. So, and it's just weird. Like, I was like, for me, that was my 20s and 30s, was a lot of like super negative thinking, because any compliment to me was against how I viewed myself. And so then, you know, so we kind of brought up rounders a little bit. So like rounders, people like rounders. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't deal with it. I couldn't deal with the idea that I created something that people liked. It was just like so mind shattering that I just shut down to it. You know, it was just too hard for me to work it out. Like what is it? What's going on? Like, I don't understand. Like, I just like totally chickened out of it. Like just absolutely like just gave it up. So, because it's sort of embarrassing and it was weird feeling, and I just didn't understand.
It's not an unusual thing. People get that way with any degree of success.
Oh, this is no success.
It was, though. But it was a degree of success.
I guess
that
degree.
You went to an international convention. You had something of yours, and people who you respected said it was good. You were acknowledged as the thing that you do is up to par, and, you know, and we respect it. You're one of us. You've done really good. Have you seen this? Check it out. Check it out. Check it out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, what do you do with the next stage of that? It's very, very difficult. I've seen people on many, many levels.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. I can see that even if you don't have like a totally negative self-image, that it's going to hurt you anyway, because you're right. Like, you've almost inadvertently made this big step. And then what do you do?
Well, there's a...
What's your next thing?
There's a big fear that people have that no one likes to admit, because it sounds like a thing that people make fun of you for. But it's like, what if this goes well?
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing. What if this is a success?
I can see that. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Like, even if you look at this show, like, say, what if this show was a big success? What if the show that we're doing now, where we reveal personal things from our lives, is a success? If that is the case, you know, what's going to happen? We might be able to monetize it. That's nice. You make some money off it. You'll tour with it, maybe, blah, blah, blah. But you'll also get a whole bunch of people on message boards saying really mean things about you, getting personal, know too much about your life.
Yeah.
Maybe know your address. Maybe you're not going to be able to have that privacy that you want. Mm-hmm. Right now, you got the balance of that. But you don't want things to change.
Yeah.
The success is scary. We're working on a book right now. What if that's successful?
Yeah.
What if, you know, what if that's what you're known for the rest of your life? Is like you did a kid's book. What then? Well, how's that about?
Yeah.
But, you know.
No, I can see that.
By the way, I was thinking about that the other day because I was talking to someone about that. And then I was thinking, like, I know two people, one person, Fiona Staples, who does Saga, and Giselle Glass, who I'm working on Exorcisters with, and both of Giselle does a softcore comedy web comic, Culminaja 3, and Fiona does Saga, which has just like hardcore pornographic images of like dragons blowing themselves in there, and both of them work on Archie comics and don't have, and it's fine.
You can
do multiple things and you'll be fine. But it's worrisome thinking like, oh no, if I just do, will I just be the Archie person forever? Will I just be this forever? Will I be that? And you know, it's
that's true. And not even that. I mean, there's a sense in our lives that each new thing we do, it should be a step forward, not just, we don't just sit on a plateau and kind of walk along a plateau for a while. We're supposed to like constantly be going up.
You've got an upward arc, which is not the way anything is.
And so then the idea that now you've hit this huge success, well, now you got to make another step. You got to step up again.
Yeah.
Can't just come back with the same garbage.
And if you don't do the right thing with your success, you've blown your success and shame on you and you'll never get it again. Yeah, and you're that sad person who won the lottery and then their life is worse afterwards because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, people are
That wouldn't be me. I would have a beautiful life if I won the lottery. But, you know, I'm sure, I've heard of people.
If you've got the plan in place.
I don't know if I have a plan.
But. Everyone on the cover of Lucky Magazine is smiling. Never have a Where Are They Now section and for a reason. In those magazines.
They don't have that in Lucky?
I don't think they do.
Is there such a magazine called Lucky Magazine, or did you just make that up?
There is a magazine that's like that's basically just lottery winners,
Lottery winners monthly.
It's you know, and they're smiling with the check in the front, and it's like, if you go back a little later, that might be a little rough. We'll see.
Yeah. Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. But yeah.
No, I think that generation, your mom's generation, and to some degree ours, the idea of compliments, it was not a thing. It was in the media, you know, like all sitcoms were, this person thinks they're so big, let's take them down. That was the thing. It was like, you know, it wasn't encouraging or helpful. It was, even the sitcoms where someone does get encouraged, they almost always did get a big head and got too full of themselves. And that was the thing.
They became
a big snob.
Yeah.
And then they got humbled. And then it was fine because they went back to the status quo.
Mm.
And that's the way it should be. And then all sitcoms went back to the status quo, and it was like the same thing the next week, and don't grow in any way. That's what everything has to be as it is, the end. Whereas I think when I look at sitcoms nowadays, like a Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something, characters do grow and change and try to help each other and are empathetic. And I have been watching that show quite a bit and going like, damn, that's a smart show. And it made me think about old sitcoms and go, well, these are funny, but oh, the message is just terrible. That all these people are brutally insulting each other, especially in the first 5 minutes of the show, like horrific. Cruel, mean, insults, and but I remember that a lot. Yeah, don't get a big head was something that my grandparents would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'd always want to take you down a couple of notches.
But why?
That's a good question. What do you think it is?
It's so weird to me.
You'll be a jerk. Like, is that their worry that they're going to raise a snob? Maybe they're worried that you're going to think you're better than them. Maybe that's the angle.
Gosh darn it, that should be the way it is. Your children should think they're better than you.
Well, the goal is for your children to be better than you. Your goal is for them to have a better life. But I wonder how many parents are happy with that. Like, if their kids actually are better than that.
I think you're right. I mean, some parents, you know, if you have a parent, you know, I mean, you could have a parent who has a narcissistic personality. That's a very toxic parent to have. Someone who cannot take any pleasure in your success because it takes away from their attention, you know. And that would be terrible to have. And maybe that's what I had. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, I'm not a psychologist. I just play one on a podcast, and I play it very badly.
That's right.
As well.
You got that Freud beard and your cigar.
I am much better.
You make me sit on the couch.
I'm much better at spike ball than psych ball.
And?
Oh, huh? Well, compliments, please. Yeah, so it's...
but I don't want you to get a big head.
It is a curious dilemma. I mean, honestly, I hope that my daughters would never feel that I was jealous of anything they did that was great.
And yet today, that happened.
It did not just happen, but you're right.
Sir,
my daughter.
That did happen today. Tell the story.
Well, you know, well, let me just go back in time. Everyone, back in time. When I decided to stop being a farrier, I decided I was going to change my life.
Okay.
In some small way. So I got rid of my truck, my $125 a fill truck. That's 2006, $125, by the way. And I bought.
I thought you were saying your $100 whatever fill up is like $22,000 if you translate into modern money. How much is? Yeah, every time I filled it up, it was $2,000 to fill up that truck. That's how expensive it was for gas.
$2,000, wow. No, it wasn't quite that much. But okay. I'm just saying, like, that was a while ago and it was still a lot of money, right?
Sure.
And then, so I decided I was going to get rid of this pickup truck because I wasn't going to be a farrier anymore, so I did not need a pickup truck. So I sold the truck, and I bought a little Yaris, a Toyota Yaris. It was pretty much the first year it had come out, and I absolutely fell in love with the car. I don't know why, I just really loved it. It's a hatchback and a little sporty kind of thing. And yeah, it's an Econo box. It's not like a classy car. It doesn't have leather seats and all the rest of that junk. But it's just like a simple family car. It had four doors, so that the girls could get in and out the back, and it comfortably seated four, uncomfortably seated five. It had it was manual, and the car I bought was a demo model, so it had lots of bells and whistles on it. Because when they sold the cars, you know, you don't want to sell people the base model; you want to sell people the step up. So when they take the demo car out, they're like, "Man, I love this car with this fancy mirror, with this nice stereo system, with these da da da." And they're like, "Well, those are all extras." So da da da. So I bought this demo; it had like 800K on it, and so it was used, but not that used. And it was a really good deal. So I really loved that car. I drove that car from 2006 or 7, I guess, to 2011. And at that point, someone tried to drive through it at a stoplight while I was driving through a...
Yeah, very scary.
I was driving through a green light, and they went through a red light into the side of my car. And Eve was with me, so that was really scary. Luckily, I saw their lights, so I had time to speed up to try to avoid them, and then they hit my back wheel.
Oh, my God.
So that was the end of my car. Fast forward to today... And Mary,
By the way, let's just say Eve was okay.
Yes, Eve was fine. Yeah, we were both fine.
Because it's a bad story to tell where you go. Like, and so I was with my daughter Eve. We had in the car accident. Anyway, I was with my daughter Mary today. Wait a minute. Wait. What in the story? Hold it. Wait.
I'm sorry, everyone. Sorry.
Okay.
I didn't. Yeah, Eve was fine.
All right. Good.
I mean, she was scared of the accident because she'd never been in a car accident before, and that's a scary moment. But she was fine. She was just luckily for us. I was able to avoid bumper to door collision.
Yes.
It hit the rear wheel and just spun us around on an empty street at 10:30 at night in Aldergrove. So it wasn't like busy traffic or anything. It was just in every way an accident can be lucky. It was a very lucky accident for us. The unlucky part of it was that my car was a write off, and so I could never find another Yaris at the amount of money they were paying me out for my Yaris. I couldn't find a replacement car that was equivalent of the one I was replacing.
It was the demo and had all the stuff.
Yeah. So fast forward to today.
Okay.
And I went with Mary, my other daughter Mary, and she bought herself a Yaris, a 2007 red Yaris.
Okay.
An RS, like mine was. So it has the RS package with the fog lights and the spoiler and all the rest of it. A very weak spoiler, more of a line around the back window. And but it's a 5-speed manual like mine was. And yeah, just awesome. So I drove it, took it for a test drive, and yeah, she bought it today. So I'm not jealous of it. I think it's great that she bought it. In fact, I'll probably get to drive it a few times through the summer because because we trade cars at home. And Eve... Oh, and the other congratulations is to my daughter, Eve. She passed her driver's test yesterday.
Congratulations,
Eve. She is no longer an N driver. Here in BC, we have a graduated licensing program. You start as an L, as a learner.
Right.
Then you get your N.
Loser, for a loser.
Or that, if you prefer. And then you get your N.
For no good.
For new or no good. You really don't want people to get a big head, do you?
Yeah.
And so she's no longer an N. She's now a blank. She's just a person who drives a car.
Oh, okay, great.
So yeah, that was really good. Just very proud of her. She was very much convinced that she would not pass the test.
Oh,
and
is
I
that
said,
right?
Yeah, I don't know why, because she's a really good driver. I was like, but you're a really good driver. Why would you fail? It's ridiculous. Like, you know exactly what you're doing. Mm. You have no problems at all driving.
Okay. You're doing the opposite of what your parents did.
Yeah.
See how that works out.
We'll have to see. You know what?
And then when those kids have kids, we'll see. We'll mix the two and do a see if the mix of negging and support then maybe put.
By the way, together. My daughters are perfect, so I think it works out well.
Yeah, that does seem to be a good call. You're just reminding me now that I need to learn how to drive in the next year because I made a deal
with the devil.
How dare you call my nephew the devil? Like, I think his mother would agree with you at some times. I'm not saying that wouldn't be the case. He is sort of growing a devil beard. I will give you that. But, sir, he is not the devil.
He's growing a devil beard?
Well, he's grown as much hair as he possibly can.
Okay.
His face, you know?
Okay.
And so that's ended up with a mustache and a little bit of business sometimes down low.
Okay.
But he just turned 15. Happy birthday to you. I'm not going to say your name out loud. And he just turned 15 this week, and I said that I would learn how to drive before he would, or get a driver's license before he would.
Ooh.
So we made that deal.
Yikes.
Yeah.
You better get on that.
I got a year.
Gotta get on
to
that.
To get on it. Yeah. So there you go. And well, also, by the way, he is now turned into a giant. He's one of those kids who was...
suddenly had that growth spurt?
Oh, my gosh. There's pictures of him right now. My sister has posted of him like at one of those swim up bars where he's getting his virgin cocktails, and he's enjoying doing that. And he has tried to get a regular cocktail and been shut down hard by the bartenders.
That beard is not fooling anyone.
Yeah, and then friends of my sister go, "Well, keep on trying, Kyle." And I want to say to the friends, "No, you're a horrible influence." Adult friends of my sister. That's not at all what you should be saying to a 15-year-old is, keep on trying to get that booze. Keep reaching for the stars.
It's amazing how lenient parents are about drinking sometimes.
Well, as long as it's in the house.
Yeah.
What the fuck does
I'm
that
fine
mean?
With that. You know,
yeah. I'd rather you drink here than out there. Like, I get that.
By the way, that's a form of child abuse to give children alcohol. You guys know that, right?
Yeah. Their brains aren't fully, you know, together until, they're about 21. So, it's a weird thing.
It's a very weird thing. I often wonder if it's kind of like a... It's kind of like, I do it, so I have to justify what I do by having other people do it around me.
I would love to at some point have an interview with cool parents, you know?
What, I don't count?
No.
No, I don't.
No, no. Well, you're the good kind of cool parent. Well, this is the thing. Like, I remember there was my friend Dean, his sister was raising his two kids, and they didn't really have any bedtimes, right? That was one thing. It was
weird.
Not really any bedtimes,
yeah,
right?
Not a good idea.
But they still were, well, okay. But, you know, there's a lot of things you would go, traditionally, that ain't no good. And, like, you know, she would let them watch the R-rated horror movies.
That's fine.
And all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
But they wouldn't, you know, there's no drinking, there's none of that, whatever. And they both grew up, like, amazing kids.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you would go, like, she was kind of a rocker-looking woman, and they were very, you know, crazy haircuts and, you know, all the, you just go, oh, here's trouble. But, you know, the sweetest kids you'd never find. But on the surface, you'd go, well, there's all these rules. You really should blah, blah, blah. But at the heart of it, no, it was fine. I think that's similar to you, where it's like, you know, you let your kids watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but you watch them with them and you talk to them about stuff, and there you are. And there's some things they would go, I'd never let my kid watch that, you know, sort of business. But, you know, but you wouldn't, you know, they're not drinking, you know, and having knife fights in the basement.
But I mean, they could drink. Like, that's the thing. Like, you just don't know what your kids are going to choose to do.
But there were parents who would like buy their kids.
Yeah, I don't like that idea. I mean, the girls grew up without any alcohol in the house.
Yeah.
It wasn't available for them to sneak and water down. I didn't like have a bunch of bottles with chalk marks on them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of spoiled their fun, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
But
they didn't see you having a good time with it, so why would they want that? Like, who would have been the people they would have saw drink? Like, because if you get a kid who goes like, that looks great, they got to like see an adult who's like, oh, they're having fun. This is adult what they're doing there. I want in on this.
Yeah.
But you know, you didn't have that around the house. Like, I don't know when you invite people over if there'd be drinking there or whatever, and they might have seen that and go like, that looks pretty good.
Oh yeah, like friends. If my brother and sister-in-law came over, or Lisa's brother and sister-in-law, like, they'll bring wine for dinner, or beer. My brother likes to drink beer.
But
so.
But to your kids, would they have looked at that and go like, that makes things better? Look at them drinking the beer. Probably not.
I know. I mean, this is a dinner time thing, right? So it wasn't really like, you know, it just seemed like they're having a different juice than us with our milk or whatever.
Yeah.
Or boring old milk.
Well, I think, again, we're flashing back to when we were kids. You know, there used to be like parties, you know, that would be at your parents' place, and you know, you'd be there and you'd see them start drinking, and then you go upstairs and the parties would get loud. And you go like, there's something down there that's happening that sounds pretty good. And alcohol seems to be a part of it, because I can smell that it's coming
greasing,
up the
greasing
stairs.
The wheels?
I can see this coming up the stairs. I can smell this. And that seems like something, you know, I could, you know, when you're a kid, you want to be an adult. And so that's an aspect of being an adult.
I was different.
But I think for, yeah, I think for your kids, that wasn't the an aspect of what made you an adult. So
no,
why would that be influenced?
Watching movies and eating pizza. That's what.
Yeah.
Those are adult activities that are in our lives. Yeah, it's just we're not big on that. I mean, Lisa drank when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
She drank, and it's funny, I mentioned this to my cousin Jason, that Lisa's favorite drink when she was a drinker was Tom Collins. And so they did an episode of Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure about Tom Collins, so that was very nice of him. But, so I listened to that. They didn't seem to have a lot of history around the Tom Collins, but they made a proper Tom Collins, and then everyone was like, this is really good. I don't see any other reason to drink any other kind of drink. This is the best one. So Lisa said, they're right. That is the best drink.
What's the basis of a Tom Collins?
I believe kind of like a lemonade sort of base to it. Not
is
actually
it
lemonade.
Gin?
It's gin and lemon.
Yeah.
With sugar. Or with, what do they call it? Like the...
Simple syrup?
Simple syrup. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And because I was listening to the show and then you can garnish it with an orange slice and a cherry.
Right.
It's a very simple drink, but Lisa swore by it for a couple years. And then... she just realized that she'd sort of drank away a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then she and a friend, while driving home, worse for wear, her friend put the car in reverse while she was driving at, you know, a normal driving speed forward. She actually put the car into reverse and destroyed the transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, her money, Lisa's money went for drinks. And then I also had to go, you know, $1,500 later to repair a transmission that got shattered to pieces.
Oh, good.
She said, you know what? I don't need to drink anymore.
Right.
I'm going to save my money.
I'm trying to get off the sugared soda, and so I'm doing various things. And occasionally I'll have a drink at a restaurant, like a drink, just because it's different.
Yeah.
Because the reason I think I drink sugared soda is habit. So it's just right now kind of breaking habit. Like I'll have a coffee instead, or I'll have like, I'm having a Zevia here or some such.
My condolences.
It's actually...
Sure, keep telling yourself that. I don't want to spoil your...
I know.
I don't spoil this thing that you're trying
Most
to train.
Most are terrible, right? But like that one actually kind of works. To the point where, like, speaking of my sister, when I go over to her place, she does an ad for it almost. Like it literally feels like I'm in a commercial to where I really want to, at some point, just, like, turn to a fake camera and go, Zevia. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of her pitch.
I only like water if it's ice cold. I don't like tap warm water or lukewarm water. I can't drink it. I find at restaurants, the first glass they'll give you is great because full of ice. Then they'll come around, they'll fill it again. They don't bring ice with them. They just put more warm water into your cup, and then all the ice is gone. You're like, what? Ugh.
I now quite often will just ask for a separate glass of ice.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
And it helps me in both ways. Like if I have a cup of coffee, I'll put some ice cubes in it, calm it down, and I can actually drink the thing. Or I got some water there. Oh, there, it all works out. And Lord forbid someone spills hot soup on themselves. Who is Lord of the Manor? Me, Johnny Ice. And they put that on there.
Dump it in their lap.
Yeah. The ice man cometh. Look at me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here.
Good for you. Yeah, I find...
It's that or have a giant ice block underneath the table and an ice pick. But when they see you sitting with an ice pick in your hand, it looks disturbing to some people.
Sure.
And just like hacking away at it during the meal.
Yeah, especially when you're hacking away at your lap the way you were just doing it, demonstrating there.
But when you see ice...
I'm scared.
When you see ice chips flying up, either one, he's got an ice cube underneath there, or he's really got a biological problem he's got to deal with.
Well, there could be both.
Yeah, you've heard of frozen soldier. Well, that's shoulder. That's frozen groin. And that's, you know, occasionally you got to just take the pick and just like hammer at it for a while. Otherwise, it'll just
freeze
forever.
I like the
idea
of being called frozen soldier.
That's
a better term for
Captain America.
I guess so.
Then he gets thawed out and joins the Avengers.
We don't have, or very rarely, we never really have like soft drinks at home. We don't keep Coke in the house or anything like that.
Okay.
So I only drink Coke out like in a restaurant. So, you know, it's an occasional thing for me.
So at home, you just like pour a cold glass of water?
Usually for dinner, we'll drink milk. I like a cold glass of milk with my dinner.
Okay.
And then other times I'll just, I just have ice water.
Yeah. I have a hard time drinking milk with the food. I can drink a glass of milk as a glass of milk. But when you combine it with food, the flavor mix is very strange.
I don't mind it at all.
It's like,
but I like it super cold, so it doesn't have a lot of flavor.
Like
when
here
it's really
would
cold.
Be the worst thing for me is like, hey, we're having a nice cold glass of milk, fantastic, and spaghetti. Well, I'm gonna have to fight you to the death right now because there's no way I'm putting those two together.
But in a way, what if you're having fettuccine Alfredo, like with Alfredo sauce? Like, wouldn't that's with milk?
Mm-hmm.
You're okay with that?
it seems redundant at that point. Like, why am I having milk with this? It'd be like drinking a glass of cheese with it. It's just like, why? What's the point?
Because well, I do like milk. It's just like, I like the...
What do you like drinking milk with? What's a good... Besides, like, to me,
I mean,
I just
have it with dinner.
Milk and chocolate cake. Yeah, well, now...
Oh, yeah, cookies and... Yeah, any kind of dessert.
That 100% makes
any
sense.
Any dessert.
Yeah, there's a contrast there. It makes sense. So what's a...
Not ice cream, but any other dessert.
All right, so you drink a glass of milk. What do you eat that... What's a normal dinner for you that you'll have a glass of milk with?
Well, every meal.
Well, tell me one of those meals then.
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Okay, well, we've already mentioned that. You said there are many other
spaghetti,
meals.
Spaghetti, hot dogs, and
hot
macaroni
dogs,
and cheese.
Okay, wait a second. Hot dogs and a glass. Okay, I can see mm-hmm. mac and cheese because, once again, you're going very heavy on the dairy. Hot dogs and a glass of milk.
I like dairy.
Hot dogs and milk.
Yep, why not?
All right, well, I'll tell you why not.
I don't pour the milk in the hot dogs.
Let me just say the saying, Dave.
Thing
see,
on the side.
And see, all right, hot dogs and milk.
Yep.
Have you ever heard that saying in your life?
Yes, because I have it quite often.
Yeah, at your crazy home. Yeah,
it's
that's
not crazy.
Right.
It's normal. I mean,
I like the fact that
you know what I think is crazy.
Your daughters.
This is what I think is crazy.
I love that, but I don't like the fact that you're forcing them to have hot dogs and milk. I don't know.
Every family has its own little quirks, I guess. I mean, I never thought of it as quirky. To me, it
we
seems
had that
weirder.
Too when I was a kid, yes.
It seems weirder to me, like watching a movie like, what was that movie called? The one with
Star
the girl.
Wars.
That's why.
Yeah, the blue milk.
The one with the girl who wanted to be in a pageant.
Oh,
Little
Miss
Sunshine.
Sunshine.
Yeah, Little Miss Sunshine. And the movie opens and they're sitting at their table eating a dinner.
Yeah.
Which is nice. They're sitting around a table eating dinner, but their drink is a bottle of pop mm-hmm. that they're pouring into their glasses. Like, that to me is horrible. Like, well, that's worse. Like, I don't understand.
Okay, well, that though is, if you look at any of, and these are terrible, but if you look at any of the pageant shows.
Yeah.
Okay. The kids do drink soda for energy. You get that sugar burst.
Yeah, but so this is that. A family having like their family meal.
Yeah.
Not just at the, not at the thing. As we know, her whole pageant dream is a dream.
It's a dream, yeah.
But yeah, I don't understand. Like,
were you happier
why
watching,
would you want to have
Captain Fantastic? Did you see that movie?
Yeah, I really like that movie.
Very similar film.
But
very similar. Started off like killing an animal and drinking its blood. So,
Well, I mean, they're just learning how to properly dress an animal.
They are too, but he does have to eat the heart of the animal.
It's well, it was a rite of passage.
Rite
of thing,
passage,
but
yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't a regular occurrence, but yes, that movie.
You've done that with
that
your
movie,
daughters too. I mean, it's just something families do.
That movie is about a person who let the pendulum swing a little too far in one direction.
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
There's a middle ground that's a pleasant
yeah.
element to that.
You like
story.
Climbing walls too, but come
yeah.
on, fair is fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Be,
I don't want to climb with a broken arm.
Just climb through the pain,
that's a good
Dave.
Film, but I mean, it's a good film because it's creating
very similar to Little Miss Sunshine.
It's this thesis synthesis film, right? Like, and you have to sort of find where those two come together, and mm-hmm. then you go there. That's a good place to be, you know. Like, you can.
It's a
you
smart
can,
thing to do in a movie where you have your character and your main character, and you're like, I'm on board with this. Then you have another character come along and give an alternate point of view, and you go, they're the enemy because I'm with this protagonist. And then they state their case, and you go, that is actually a good point. Maybe I'm not with the protagonist, though.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
the protagonist.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm, well, we got to make some compromises.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, you
fair
know,
enough.
That,
yeah.
That kind of, I don't know if people don't know the film. The movie stars Viggo Mortensen. He, I guess, would be the character of Captain Fantastic.
Right.
He's a father who, in order to save his wife, I guess, and I think created this sort of fantastic fantasy world in Alaska, this world where he's bringing up his children with this very much back to nature, but not just back to nature, they're also going like through rigorous education.
Yeah.
The film, you know, makes a point of how much more they know than the kind of run-of-the-mill kids that they meet outside of this bubble they live in.
Right. But extreme socialist education.
But
as
it's,
well.
Yeah, it's extreme. It's just extreme in every way. And as the movie makes the point, you know, the kids are educated, but they're in no way wise. You know, like they have no wisdom to bring to their lives.
They can
lives.
Recite, yeah, but they
can't apply what they've learned to a normal life. Mm-hmm. The boy, the older boy, kisses a girl at a campground, which is something that happens in life. If you go camping with your parents, you will meet a girl
yep.
and you'll end up kissing her.
Right.
It's awkward.
Yep.
And they leave the next day and you're like, that was a thing.
Yep.
He proposes marriage to this girl because that's how he was brought up. This idea of courtly romance.
What else would you do?
He has no way to filter his knowledge into the real world, which is a problem between knowledge and wisdom. There's those two different things, right? What is it? Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. wisdom is not putting in a fruit salad. Those are, that's a good, you know, that's a good kind
of. Never heard that before, but I like it.
It is good.
I haven't heard that before, but I also haven't heard hot dogs and milk, so what do I know?
Poor idiot. The thing about that, you know, that I like about the film is that the love of the family for each other. Like, that's a family that is intensely loves each other, most of them. There's, you know, there's a rebel who's not interested in what the hell's going on and just wants
doing the push away, which you do.
Wants to get out of this situation. It's partly a push away and also partly a realization for him that, hey, my life is disappearing here. Like, I am not getting a real life. I am living another person's life for them.
That's one way of looking at it. I also look at it like he had a lot of pain about, like, what was going on with his mom. And how does a kid react to pain? He wants to attach blame to it.
Sure, that's part of it.
And the blame is you. And that's where it goes.
That's part of it. But, I mean, it isn't, you know, that title of that book that I've never written and never will write, When Did You First Meet Your Child?, is a really important concept for raising children, which is the idea that at some point, you no longer control your children. They will make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. And that can happen at a very young age, that they become a person. They're no longer an infant who you bend to your will. They become a person who has their own opinions and their own tastes and their own ideas of what they want to do. And you can't force them to be what you want them to be. You can't decide at age two that your daughter's going to become a ballerina and then just make their life all about being a ballerina if they have no interest in it at all.
Yeah.
And you're just forcing them against their will.
That was my dad with soccer with me. Yeah, it didn't work. Tried. And then I gave up.
Yeah, yeah. Because,
by the way, always disappointed in that, I think.
I remember my dad getting upset at me one weekend because I didn't play football. Really upset at me. Like,
that's why I think one of the best books about parenting.
Dad, you raised a sissy. What do you think is going to happen?
We're both a couple of real sissy men. Good for us. I think one of the best books about parenting and realistic books about parenting, mm-hmm. you know, you can go with your Dr. Spock books and what have you. Mm-hmm. But I think if you want to know what a real good book about Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And I think, like, that's a good one because it's like, you know, it's, you got a guy who wants a kid mm-hmm. and creates the kid. And then, the kid just has its own opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
And goes off.
Has his own free will.
Own free will, wants to do a bunch of stuff. And you just have no control. And it's like, oh, I made a monster. And it's like, yep, you did.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Now you got to live with it.
They got to live with it. That is a real. By the way, if you're ever thinking about having kids, read Frankenstein first. I don't mean the movies, not with the but the guy is real yappy.
Yeah, yeah.
Very verbose.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a great story. And you're right. It's a good point, actually. I hadn't thought of that. I don't need to write my book now. We have Frankenstein in this place. Yeah, those are my two books.
I do think you should write your book.
My two books.
Which will be
book. When did you first meet your child? Mm-hmm. Second book, The Guiding Principle is the Principle of Guiding.
Oh.
That's when they're teenagers. Yeah.
Those I think that is your seminar.
Seminar.
I think your book is the first one, and then your seminar is the second one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got that microphone around your head that curves like Madonna.
Yeah.
And then you're like, lights up, please. Let's see some hands.
Because here's the thing about kids. Is the kids are going to live forever. You, as a parent, you know that you're not going to live forever. By the time you're a parent, by the time your kids are teenagers, you have come to terms with the fact that you have a finite life. Right. You've reached that, around in your mid-30s, you realize, oh, fuck, this ends. Mm-hmm. Shit. Kids don't have that. Their life lasts forever. Their summers last forever.
Right.
Their winters last forever. Their school years last forever.
That car ride is going
to
last forever.
A year to them is a lifetime to us.
Sure. You know?
And so it's up to you as a parent to make sure your kids follow their dreams. Because they will, you know, there's exceptional kids that are self-starters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know any personally.
Okay.
I shouldn't say that. But there are, you know, but there are other kids who need you to help them. Not to force them, but to help them get started in their life. You know what they want to do. They know what they want to do. How do they do it? Do they go to school? Do they go to trade school? Do they go out and start an apprenticeship somewhere? They need that, but they need you to help them do it because they don't know what the fuck to do. When I was a kid and I wanted to go to art school, did I know how to put together an art school portfolio? I had no idea.
And there was no internet to tell you.
No internet to tell me and... Nope, and I just couldn't do it.
And you're living in the suburbs, so who are you going to talk to?
And also,
who's an artist who's come to town?
Yeah, that's right.
I got a question.
Yeah.
How?
And so, you know, I just never did it. And part of it was my incredible ability to procrastinate because I was going to live forever. But also the fact that I just didn't know what to do, and it was just easy to put off because you're like, well, oh, I'll do it now because and then you're like, well, my drawings are garbage, and I don't even know what I'm doing, so forget about it. Who cares?
Yeah, that little voice comes along. It's like almost any panel you do mm-hmm. about comics or anything at all. The first question is, how do you do this?
Yeah.
How do you get into it?
Yeah.
I saw someone online 2 days ago on an improv message board who was going, so, you know, sorry, this is a silly question, but how does one go about becoming an improv teacher? And my response was, not make enough money as an improv performer.
Yeah.
And that's how you become an improv teacher, because it's usually to supplement your income. At least you've got a wonderful drive to teach, in which case, God bless. But the vast majority of people, it's because it's an income supplementer.
Yeah, yeah. I would think that same with people who teach comic book art and stuff like that, are people who are supplementing. Their main focus is... would really be prefer to be on producing work. Mm-hmm. In the meanwhile, since I have to eat, I will also be a teacher.
Right.
You know, that, I mean, it's honorable.
I mean, there's a lot of times parents want to protect their kids. So when it's something like, you know, a job as an artist or a job as something that's a bit risky, you know, but what job ain't risky now? Yeah. What job is not risky? Office job, that's not risky. You know, medical profession, that's not risky. Everything's risky. You know, so, you know, they want to make sure that you got to assess. You know, parents want to correct the mistakes they made with their kids. And so, well, like, don't make the same mistakes I made. Here's what I did wrong, so I'm going to push you to do this. And there you go.
I don't really think I did very much wrong with my girls. And that's not a boast. That's just, I mean, there are some things I regret, obviously. But I think overall, we did a good job.
Yeah, if you don't have regrets, you didn't do anything.
But, you know, things like, you know, if your girls reach, or your boys or your kids reach 16 years old, it's up to you to get them to the motor vehicle branch to get their learner's license.
Okay.
They're not going to do it themselves. You need to help them.
Okay.
You need to take them driving. You need to take them, even if you buy them driving lessons, you should still go driving with your kids. Because that's what they need. They need
you. Never had that myself there.
No, me neither. Yeah. Elisa taught me how to drive. My wife taught me how to drive.
Yeah, I had a couple of girlfriends try and teach me how to drive, and it did not help the relationship.
No, I was, I guess I was a bit luckier. I was with a born teacher, like Lisa's, made, created to teach people how to do things.
I was getting a lot of, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know. I got no idea.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it should be your parents who are doing it with you, because your parents should be giving you unconditional support. That's what your parents are there for. I don't know if you knew that. My parents failed in this thing, but
as a parent, all right.
Like, people will say to you, "Oh, you just had kids because you want unconditional love," and you go, "Fuck, you've never had kids. If you think that's what you're getting from your kids is unconditional love,
no, you give it.
That's right.
That's right.
That's like, your job as a parent.
You don't get it.
You give unconditional love, and if you think after 20 years you're going to get a big thank you at the end of it, you are deluded, because it's not about you." It's not for your gratification that you brought people into this world. It's your gratification comes from what they become. That's what's so magical about raising children, is watching this thing become this beautiful butterfly in front of you, right? This great thing. And the idea that you're not there to support and guide that person to become what you know that they can be is insane. You know, and so our generation, our anti-big head parent generation, my mom did take me driving. She took me driving once.
Okay.
She took me to the busiest parking lot in all of Delta. I almost got in a car accident because I was driving in a freaking busy lot my very first time in a car. And then she's like, never again. Never take you again. That's it. So I just never learned to drive for another like 4 years after that.
I have a weird memory of my dad where we got a pool table. And he said to me, you know, as we're playing the pool, and he went like, "If you ever tear this table, I'll never forgive you."
Oh,
just a weird thing to say.
Terrible thing to say.
Oh yeah, it's a really fucking awful thing.
Because the idea of never being forgiven by your parent for whatever you've done, because that doesn't count for the table.
Yeah, boy, did I resent that pool table till the end of time. You know,
but it's not just a pool table though. It could affect your whole life, right? Because you're thinking to yourself, "What else won't he forgive me for?"
Yeah.
You know, it might not even be the front of your mind, but it's something that's inside you.
I remember that was a conversation I had with my my younger sister, and she was having a real problem fighting with my parents over something, and she was really, really having it was a very dark time, and I said to her that something you got to realize is they love you no matter what, and like, you could kill a person and they'd be fine with you, and whatever you've done now or whatever you're fighting over is less than that, but they honestly, you could kill someone, and I'm not saying you should.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
that's true.
But they would. They would love you still.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ever think, you know, because she was thinking like, if I do this, they're not going to love me anymore.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Like, no, they will.
A good parent will always love you.
Yeah.
I mean, they may not approve of what you did.
That's right.
But that's different. Approval is different from love, you know? Like, yeah, if you murdered someone, it's unlikely your parents are going to be like, good job. But they're going to still love you.
No, you could burn the house down.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible. It'd be a hard time. They'd be furious.
Yeah.
All this. They would still love you. That's still going to be part of
it. It'll never change.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, with my mom, I'm sure she loves me. You know, she's going through a thing now where we're estranged, but I'm sure she loves me. And every time, like, she does, like, sneak a note out, you know, that's there, and I send that back to her, and that's still there, and that's all, that's going to be eternal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Yeah, saying the idea that like I'll never forgive you. What a weird thing. And it's one of those things where like as time goes on, you know, you go like, oh, that's mad, and then you go, oh, that's really bad, and then you go like, oh, that's a terrible thing to say, and then more time goes by, and you go, I wonder why he said that.
Yeah.
Like, did someone say that to him? Like, why was this pool table so important to him?
Yeah.
Has someone made that threat to him? Did my grandfather make this threat to him? Is this something he said?
Yeah.
Was he having a really shitty day? What was going on?
Yeah.
You know, that's a strange thing to say. And then it goes on from there. And that's usually how most of those resentments go. It's like, oh, no, that's, you know, this is the way it is. Wait, no, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Wait, that's really wrong. Wait, why did that happen? Oh, that's sad. Oh, I'm sorry. He went through that, too. Boo.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a, I don't like to talk about work very much, but, or I shouldn't say work. There's a person that I know. Scratch what I said, everyone. There's a person that I know.
That I play spike ball with. Damn it, I said too much.
And this person is intensely wants a child and thinks that this will be the perfect, the capper for life. And his dream, this guy has the unfortunate habit of imitating, like not just telling you a story, but has to imitate the people in the story. It's a terrible thing to do.
Is he a good impressionist?
No, I don't care. I don't want to hear it.
Goes a little something like this.
Like this, yeah. He goes, it's a dream of my life to have a little child look up at me and say, Daddy, I love you.
Okay.
And I'm like, I didn't say it to him, but in my mind, I'm like, now you're backwards. That's not your dream.
Yeah.
Your dream is to love them.
Yeah.
That is your job in this situation.
Yeah.
Like that's not what you're getting out of this. Like love, unconditional love does not come from your kids. I'm not joking. Mm-hmm. Kids will love you.
Yeah.
But believe me, my kids judge me. They judge me. They judge me harshly. And that's fine. It's not unconditional. It's good. My love for them will never die. You know? I could kill their love for me.
Right.
You know, through being a cruel tyrant or doing some monstrous things to them. You know, that's...
Take a lot of work, but yeah, you could.
Yeah, yeah.
Really put an effort into it.
Should start right now.
Maybe bring them up on a podcast.
I could
like
make
week
them,
after week.
I could make them drink milk with hot dogs. Poison their...
that
poison,
would do it.
Poison their lives.
That would do it.
But you can't... You can't expect it. It's not your right as a parent to expect love from your children. You know, that's not what you're in it for. That's not the goal. That's not the point of it. And I just feel like if that's where you're starting... You are going to be disappointed in your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just setting yourself up for a failure. And you're not going to be happy. And it's just going to be one more part of your life that is an unhappy thing. Because you took the wrong outlook into the situation. You know? Like if you get married with the idea that now I have someone who will serve me hand and foot.
Right.
You know? Well, that's you're going to be disappointed. Unless you live 100 years ago. It's just not the way it is anymore. No one wants to serve a man hand and foot.
I remember a teacher of mine, maybe I've said too much, but there was a teacher of mine, and he went, here's the secret to a successful marriage. I almost did an impression of which would have been exactly who it was. His secret to a successful marriage is, you know, when you fight, you know, she wins that fight, and whatever she says, you agree with, and you just agree, and you keep agreeing.
Okay.
And like, you know, no matter what she says, agree with her, and that's the secret to a successful marriage. Okay. Hard cut to 5 years later when they're having a nervous breakdown, you know, and it's like, yeah, like even at the time going like, that is in no way. Like, I know the opposite is wrong too, but that's no, sir. And I got that advice on my, wedding, what do you call it? Where you're not getting married, but it's like the week later where you're the best man.
Reception.
At my reception. And you went like, okay, remember that this is her special day, so it's all about her. It's like, all right, that's fair enough. I can make this all about her. And also, the rest of the marriage is also all about her. Like, oh, dude. And then since that time, I've, like, seen his marriage and go like, yeah, that's the way you're running things. It's like, good luck. Waiting to... I just hear in the background, tick, 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 tick. Waiting for the kaboom.
Yeah.
No dice. It's weird when you're talking about, like, you know, wanting something from your child. It makes me think of now how dating is with Tinder and that kind of thing where, like, you just look at a person and you're swiping. You're just doing all this swiping and immediately judging and going, like, what can they give me?
Yeah.
What's in it for me? This person, they
you're right.
Whereas when you do start a real relationship, you talk to them as a person, and usually the thing is like there's something they're doing or you're doing, or like, you know, let me help you with that, or let's do this together or something. And there's something you're doing communally or whatever, but you're also trying to help make their life better, and they're trying to help make your life better. Just that's the way you really do things as a person when you actually meet. But like on a date thing like that, it's just like, so what do you do for a living? When what you're really saying is, you know, how much do you make? What kind of security are you offering me? What kind of stability have you got here? What do you got? I want this. What can you do to make that happen?
Yeah.
And I've been in relationships where that has been the case, where I know we're just killing time because you want a family and you're waiting to see if I'm on board with that.
Gonna come around.
We're just burning daylight right now until the thing that you want happens, and yeah. we're not really, you know, back and forth on this kind of thing. But I think that's even more so now with the, you know, the way that kind of dating things go.
I guess.
That just reminded me of, like, the parenting thing. It's like, it's not really what you can do for, you know, they can do for you. It's like, what can you guys do together? Can you do something together to be, that makes things yeah. better as a whole, not just fulfill all my dreams like a genie.
That's interesting. A few of the guys, there's younger guys at work who are part of the Plenty of Fish crowd and stuff like that. Yeah. They do that sort of thing. And I feel sorry for them in a way. I feel, but at the same time, I'm, you know, realistically, like, what, how do you meet people now? Like, you know, like the bar seems just as terrible as, like, going to a bar.
But that was always terrible, right?
It seems just as terrible. But to me, it doesn't seem like any improvement on swiping right or left app.
That's shit, yeah. Like, what it is you got to just be social and go into social situations.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that means. Whereas, like, you know, what you do where you're doing I want to say farm to table, but it's not. What is it? Garden to table?
Garden to table, yeah.
Garden to table. You know, where you're doing that kind of thing. You're going to probably, you know, if you're a single fella, you're going to meet other people who are interested in that kind of thing and helping others and doing things. And you're going to work together for a bit and go, oh, this person knows what, all right, blah, blah, blah. Good environment. We're not, you know, we're doing something else. And then, you know, maybe something happens. It's that kind of thing. You do stuff.
Yeah.
Go out and you do
things. That's true. I mean, I just feel like I'm so lucky that I met Lisa at college, you know, where it was just like the perfect place to meet members, you know, people you're interested in.
Right. Well, there's still night school. And there's still other things like that. Yeah. No, you are very lucky. Absolutely. 100%.
Well, because you can see them and also interact with them, you know, like, so you see them and you're like, oh, that person's beautiful. Maybe if I'm careful, I can move to her table at some point. Mm-hmm. Or she's obviously like me.
It's a weird thing to me when I see the amount of people I know who are doing the Plenty of Fish thing or all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, oh, this was terrible, and this was terrible, and this one was terrible, and this one was terrible. It's like, well, I know this person's a good person who's very interesting. It's like, are these guys just dopes?
Yeah.
Are they awful, or is the system awful? You know, just like it just amazes me. How have you not found anybody? Are you just, because you seem to be out and about, or because there's so much selection now, is that cripple a person, you know? It's strange. I mean, after I, you know, got out of a 7-year relationship, I went out with a lot of people for a lot, and then, you know, basically gave up on things, and that's when I, on the idea of love.
Yeah.
And then I found Pia, and it was like, well, obviously, this is what it is, and clearly, this is what it is, and it was just like, obviously I had choice there, but it felt like, well, you're a dope if you don't go for this. This is clearly the person for you. Clearly.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know how you do it with it. It feels like, you know, just your odds would be good, right? You're going to run into an interesting person.
It's weird.
Know about people, you know?
That's a weird part of it, isn't it? The love element of it. Like, you know, when you're feeling narcissistic, you can say to your significant other, why do you love me? You know, and you can say, well, I love you because of this feature or that feature and stuff like that. The reality is, those are all true, but the real fact is that you're just incredibly smitten with this person. So it's not just the fact that, you know, that you're beautiful or that you're funny or that you're smart or whatever, but just the fact that you're beautiful and you're funny and you're smart. And also, I'm really, really attracted to you and love you.
Yeah.
And I just cannot, those things are all, you know, they're all together. Like,
it's not, my thing is like, if my wife was to ask me, like, why do you love me? My answer would be, how could I not?
Mm-hmm.
How could I not? And if break it down to, like, are there people that are more beautiful in the world? Of course, if you're going like, are there people that are funnier? Are there people that are smarter? Are there people that are this? But there's no one that's you.
Yeah, yeah.
This is clearly you that I love, uniquely you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as I saw Lisa, like, I just fell in love with her. I couldn't bring myself to speak to her.
No.
But, you know, for like, you know, forever after, I would like draw pictures of her.
Right.
And
you had
like
your ventriloquist dummy, Knothead, and you'd keep going up, hey, stupid! Which is too bad because Knothead was an insult dummy.
It was very bad. Yeah. Pretty much guaranteed that I would not get head.
This idiot
that
was, loves you.
That's what his name.
Though surprisingly, Knothead got a lot of action himself.
Himself, I don't understand.
Yeah, even back then, people like negging.
I was so
hey, ugly.
I just would have
to. Oh, hey, beautiful.
I would just have to sit beside him while this carried on. Yes. Oh, it's terrible for me. Terrible for me. I'm trying to think
He's a real jerk, but a great wingman.
So he's got his hands all over me all the time, but I... Yeah.
Oh, no, I came back from the STD clinic. I got termites. Oh, jeez.
That's his thing he does. That's the way he laughs, a creepy, creepy way.
Yeah.
Then, like all ventriloquist dummies, he became a murder dummy, and you had to, like, put him down.
Yeah, when we were talking about ventriloquists a little while ago, I was like, trying to find a something ventriloquist-related. I think I've settled... Did I do a Charlie I think I did a Charlie McCarthy thing,
did.
Right?
You did Sneaky Dragon.
Yeah. But I was looking at Magic.
Yeah.
The movie Magic. I was trying to find...
The creepiest commercial in the world that terrified kids.
Is that right? What was the commercial?
The commercial was the ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, he was doing like a rhyme.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
Like, hocus pocus. Mm-hmm. You know, magic is fun. Something, something. You take her to bed, you're dead. And it was like, then the word magic came up.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck is this? How do I need... I don't need this in my life.
I think
this is awful.
I think at that point...
Terrifying commercial.
I was already watching sneak previews with Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah.
So I saw the review of that movie, which they didn't like.
Yep.
Two thumbs down on Magic.
Sure.
But so I never actually watched it because it got two thumbs down by Siskel and Ebert. But
But was it their Dog of the Week where they had a dog run up the
No, they
aisle?
Did not. They did not have Dog of the Week at that time. I don't believe on the...
In the early ones they did.
The
then
original,
they got rid of Dog of
This
the
is the original, like, PBS, you know.
Yeah,
beyond.
They did. Dog of the Week was in the previews, yep.
Oh, I don't remember that.
In the early episodes, then they got rid of Dog. The dog did not last.
I don't... See, here's a...
He would run up the aisle, and I remember, like, ah, it's a dog! And it's like, the Dog of the Week, and it was always some horror movie.
The things I can remember from the show, one was discovering Gregory's Girl. Two, that they didn't like The Wiz. Three, that they did like a special edition about horror movies and how Halloween was a good film, but Friday the 13th was not a good film. In terms of movie, like the idea behind the movie.
Right. I remember Roger Ebert liked Evil Dead 2.
I don't remember that being reviewed. Wow.
I think Gene Sills. Yeah, and he showed like ballet dancing woman and the turtle.
I don't remember
off.
That at all.
Yeah, and Gene Siskel not being on board with it.
He did not
like
that.
No, it was really creative.
He was more of a... Gene Siskel is not a... He wasn't really a movie
Siskel
fan,
in
I don't
the
think.
Mud.
He was... He liked kind of talky, pretentious movies.
Though when Roger Ebert didn't like a movie, he really didn't like a movie. Mm. And,
Yeah, like he thought Halloween was good because it had a strong female protagonist, mm-hmm. which he thought was like a good thing in a movie like that. Whereas he felt like the Friday the 13th films... Punished,
first one?
The first one.
Okay.
Punished the characters for their sexual...
Yeah,
like, for being
really
sexual.
Set
so
the,
it was,
set the tone
for it was like a kind of sex... Like said it would be sex positive, it was like a kind of a sex negative film and kind of played into that very puritanical impulse of North America to like dislike people having like enjoying each other's company.
Well, that was the idea behind Friday the 13th, right? Where wasn't the counselors were having sex and so they didn't notice the kid drowning.
That's right, that's right.
And so the... You know, they...
They're punished by his mom, basically.
Yep. Spoilers.
At this point, well, come on. This point, yeah, it wasn't like a supernatural killer. It was just a mom, an angry mom, you know, really angry mom. Nursed a grudge a long time. Whereas Halloween was interesting because it was sort of a supernatural, like the character of Michael Myers in that film mm-hmm. was kind of supernatural. But the movie itself, it had like a very positive, like, you know, super, like it had a powerful female character in it, which was, you know, it was kind of positive, I guess. I guess it was sort of a takeoff on Alien in a way, like having a... By that point, everyone's like, oh, I guess we should have like a strong woman. That movie was popular, so we'll have another.
Well, that became the thing for the longest time, which was only one person would survive, and it would be the female lead.
Yeah,
one
you
of
knew
the, yeah.
It still kind of carries on because you
it
think
it would be
of,
the second most attractive woman.
Yeah. You think, really? Second most attractive?
Because the first most attractive has to do a shower scene.
Mm.
And then she gets killed because you can't have a shower scene and live.
Boop. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to see some nudity, and then because of the nudity, I'm sorry, you have to die.
Yeah.
It's a messed up world.
It is.
I heard that Ripley in Alien was supposed to be a male.
That's right. It was originally written for a male.
Yeah.
And then before it got very far, they changed it to a woman.
Yeah, when we were talking last week about Wonder Woman and, you know, strong female leads and what
mm-hmm.
have you,
mm-hmm.
There's been, you know, again, there's been some blowback on that going like, you know, we've had strong female leads, Ripley.
Yeah.
And then thinking that, oh, but she wasn't written to be...
Well, no,
originally.
She it was changed in the script before Sigourney Weaver was hired. It wasn't that they went, oh, Sigourney Weaver is popular, because she wasn't popular. That she was unknown when she was brought in. She was you know, like, so they'd already kind of changed the script to, and I'm not sure why Dan O'Bannon decided to change it, because he had started with a very strong idea of of it being like a film about rape and most and that it was the males who are violated, you know, whether it's a chest burster or you know, but it's not all because there's the other women, the other female character, Veronica Cartwright's character. She there's the tail that comes up between her legs, so you know you're like, oh, we know what happened there. Basically, like your Evil Dead tree situation. Yeah.
Except that I don't think with Alien they were contractually obligated to do that. That was just a choice.
That was a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a movie about violation.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was kind of... It was there to make you disturbed as a person.
And it did.
And it does disturb you, yes. It's a very effective film. My favorite of the series, personally.
Okay.
Because I think I more lean towards
really
horror.
Not Alien versus Predator 2?
Well, you know, that film has a lot to offer us, I think, in the oeuvre.
Yeah. The first one, she got killed by a tail, and then we all got killed by that cautionary tale of don't do this movie. God damn, what are you thinking, guys? What are you thinking?
They tried.
They went on.
Hey, they tried. They tried their hardest.
Did they, though?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Fair.
Absolute cash-in.
Yeah, fair enough. I've never actually seen the original Halloween. I should at some point.
Maybe I'll watch
it on Halloween.
Well, you remember the old good old days when the Rio would play horror movies on a Friday night? I went and saw. I took my nephew.
Okay, they still do late night movies there.
I took my nephew and Mary to see Halloween.
And how did it go over?
They liked it a lot. Yeah, they
was
liked
your
it
nephew
lot.
Disappointed there was no burlesque at this one?
No, no, there was no burlesque. He was fine. He was fine with it. Yeah, that was a great. I really miss the days of like a movie theater playing odd movies. Like just being able to look in picking up on your travels downtown. Picking up, you know, here's a list of what's playing at the Van
what's
East.
What's at the Rio?
Or the Ridge for the next month, you know. Like, this is before the Rio, so you'd be the Van.
Oh, not Rio, so the Ridge was what I meant, yeah.
The Ridge or the Van East. Those
and you had
choices.
That big, you know, there's your month at a glance.
Your month at a glance,
circle
that's right.
Circle a couple, we're going to go see this.
Yeah. So that's why I saw, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is playing. Well, I'm going to go see that movie, how it should be seen in a movie theater with the proper aspect ratio. So I went and saw it. And I also saw El Topo.
And afterwards you went, that's good aspect ratio.
I did. I was that much of a nerd that I really wanted to see the movie without the sides cut off for television. And I also saw El Topo, which I did. You know, I didn't go there to watch it. I just went because I was paying.
Which is based on Topo Gigio, the mouse from the Ed Sullivan show?
It's, it's a Western featuring a mouse. This is not Once Upon a Time in the West, by the way.
Yeah.
This is before that. It's El Topo. And it's kind of a mouse, but it's also like a messianic sort of Christ-like tale of the mouse, you know, as he sacrifices himself for the good of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the film, he's crucified on a block of cheese. It's pretty symbolic.
Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, thief on my right?
Gosh, you're right. Could I have eternal forgiveness, too?
You sure can. Not like this duck on the other side. He doesn't know. Oh,
I don't know how the mouse ended up sounding like Mickey Mouse.
Why not?
Because Topo Chico sounded... He was like,
oh,
Eddie.
We're doing that? Okay, because I had to do the goofy voice.
Oh, give me a kiss.
Give me a kiss, Eddie, before you shoot me. Yeah.
That mouse really wanted to make out.
Sexy mouse.
Yeah. What if Ed just really gave him a long kiss? What a real weird thing that would have been. They just cut to the Beatles backstage going, whoa?
What's going on?
How about American TV? Very strange.
That would have been great.
So, Dave.
TV's dead to me.
As we've mentioned before, we're a Canadian show. And so I think we're obligated to, at some point, mention that we're celebrating a Canada birthday.
Yeah,
150. Between now and the next year. Yeah, 150 years.
Yep.
As a centennial baby, I'm especially excited about this.
Is that right?
I was just always aware that like when it turns 150, I'm going to turn 50. And I was like, that. That was always like looming. But now that's done and over with, so we're fine.
Okay, the best meme. This is the best meme. That's come out of this 150-year celebration because some graphic designers had their way with our flag and turned it into a multicolored maple leaf. And it does look kind of weird the way they kind of divide it up into different kind of shapes and stuff like that of different colors. It's sort of a mosaic because Canada, the idea of Canada is that we are a mosaic, a quilt, if you prefer, of many ethnicities.
That is actually, those of you that are American out there and you go, hey, how about the melting pot? That's fantastic. We like to think of ourselves as a mosaic.
Yeah.
And then you go, what's a mosaic? And we go, that's actually a problem that you don't know what that is. Why don't you Google that first and then we'll keep the conversation going later. Yeah. Back to Dave.
So we're sort of a mosaic. So this leaf represents the idea of a mosaic, like a multicolored leaf, the many colors of Canada.
Sure.
And that's great. But this meme is great too, because it's so fantastic. It's this new kind of flag thing. People are outraged about it. And then they ask you, did our soldiers die to protect this leaf, this horrible multicolored leaf thing? When they, you know, no, they died to protect this flag. And then they show the Canadian flag. And you're like, guys, World War One, World War Two,
the
Korean War,
not the flag.
That wasn't our flag.
Not at all.
This flag is from 1967. This flag is not what they died to protect.
That, yeah.
I just love that meme because it's just like so dumb. It's just like a perfect summary of like dumbness.
Here's what you want to do is like if you actually had one of those people in front of you. It's just like, so they died to protect the other flag?
Yeah.
Could you draw that other flag?
Yeah.
Because apparently that other flag is very important to you.
Yeah.
Very
please,
important. And
please
so I
draw the flag for the Dominion of Canada.
If you could just do
if
that
you wouldn't
right
mind
now.
Doing that right now.
Just a rough sketch.
Yeah.
Give me a look at
please.
What that looked like.
Sure.
Why don't you name three colors in that flag?
Well, that's not so hard to do.
Really? Once they say green, then we're all messed up. I don't know. Is there green in the flag?
I don't think so. It's mostly like a field of red.
Yeah.
With the Union Jack and blah, blah, blah.
And boobity-bop, bop, boop, bop, ba-doo-ba-doo.
No, the Canadian flag, to me, and I think we talked about this before, obviously, I'm biased, but I'm not totally biased because I'm an American. I'm speaking it as American.
That's right.
Was spent out of his 50, am I 51 or am I 52? I can't remember anymore. I'm 52. He spent... Out of my 52 years on this earth, I spent...
Are you 52? I think you're 51.
Okay, I'm 51.
Yeah, you're 51.
All right, sorry, I didn't mean to age
brushing.
Myself. It's not brushing. That's my other thing my mom would do was prematurely age me.
When's your birthday?
February 22nd, 1966.
Oh, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm 51.
You're 51.
My 51 years, 4 months of those were spent in the States, 4 months of my infancy. So
yeah.
I think I can speak unbiasedly about...
That's right.
The Canadian flag is the best flag. In terms of like graphic design, it's the best. Like American flag is great too. The red, white, and blue with the stars and stuff like that. It's fantastic. But let's face it, you have to change it. Eventually, you're going to have to change it. Because you guys are going to like bring Puerto Rico into the Republic.
Yeah,
something's
going
to go on. Yeah, and then you're going to have to change it. Ours is what it is. It's just like this red leaf against a white background with these weird red bars on either side of it. We don't know what it means. We don't care. But the guys who brought it in, they snuck it in.
And we can draw it much faster than you can.
Basically, the reason we have the Canadian flag is the committee that was deciding on it. No one showed up at one meeting, and so two guys forced the flag through.
They that went, is always the way.
This is how it's going to work.
A Canadian way of deciding on the flag. Hey, anyway, there you go.
There was people, you know, there's a lot of different disagreements. They wanted the fleur-de-lis in it. They wanted the Union Jack.
Oh, there were so many other designs.
They had all these crazy
some
designs.
Some terrible ones.
Oh, they're awful.
Beavers and whatnot.
They're awful, because, you know, any sense of compromise. But this one, there was like an uncompromising, radical, weird thing.
Yep.
That
once it went
two
through,
people went.
Yeah. And then the next couple of, you know, weeks in the paper was like, what?
Exactly.
Were that?
That's right. That's when people said, did these soldiers die to protect this flag? No, they didn't. They did not die to protect this flag. Why are we bringing this flag in?
Right. By the way,
and someone said,
back
because
then, some of those soldiers are still alive.
Some of the soldiers.
You could just ask them.
That's right. And a lot of
why
them
were you
said,
fighting? Oh, because the Nazis invaded.
And you know what? A lot of those people, especially guys who were in World War One, probably thought, fuck the British. By the way, fuck them. I could give a shit about them. Change the flag. Go for it. I don't care. It was a great decision. As usual, like, you know, when those sort of things work out well, they work out great. And it's a great flag. So, and I'm not putting down anyone else's flag. I like the Union Jack.
Right. I like Captain America's outfit. I like Wonder Woman's outfit.
Sure.
I think you've taken aspects of the flag and made two great superhero outfits. But I'm also going to say Guardian's outfit, pretty great. Was the from Alpha Flight?
That's right.
He's got half the flag.
Yeah. That
it's
was
great.
Good one. Yeah.
Not a great character. No one knows what to do with that character.
Yeah.
At all.
It's like Canada.
Yeah.
No one knows what to do with this.
Same with Captain Canuck.
They're
no one knows
sure.
what to do with that character.
You know what's interesting? I was reading an article the other day. It was talking about how batshit crazy Trump is. They didn't say it in so many words. I'm just boiling it down. And the fact that Canadian government can no longer rely on him. Like, even if you can get an agreement from him, as soon as he gets back home and gets on his Twitter account, it's out the window. And so what they've started to do, and we have the advantage of closeness and language. So what we've been doing is premiers around Canada have been flying and just making personal visits at lower levels of government with governors and going in state by state and liaisoning with people at that level to create trade agreements, work on climate change and stuff like that. At the state level, it's much easier to deal with. And because they're talking about like the premier of Ontario. Premier is like a governor in the States, everyone, just so you know. The Premier of Ontario visiting like 13 different states in the last little while to, you know, glad hand and, you know, push Canada and make sure that American governors understand just how close a relationship is. Because, you know, maybe people don't quite understand what, you know, like that we bring, you know, this amount of money into the American economy and how important it is. Like, for instance, Mario Cuomo, the governor of New York, was putting in an idiotic America First bill. And the premier of Ontario said, no. Because if you do that, then we are going to say no to you. And your trade will stop with us. And then Buffalo, a town that's hurting everyone. You know, an old steel town. The steel industry is gone. It's in India now. Mm-hmm. It's in China. There's no steel industry anymore. Places like Buffalo and along the, you know, the rust belt of America, they're hurting. And the idea of another country who they have major trade with saying, by the way, no. You know, so they went to Cuomo and said, no to you, sir. And he just kind of put in this bill. This is like a neutered, basically like a symbolic gesture bill. And that's an important step that we can sort of flex our muscle, but at a lower level, you know, and sort of cut out the craziness that's happening in the top and just kind of go door to door and just say, we're friends. Never forget, we're your pals. We have this important relationship that we've developed over hundreds of years. You know, yeah, we had our disagreements. We didn't appreciate the Fenians running in and beating up our locals. That wasn't great. But we're willing to overlook that in the interest of, you know, being neighbors. And, so I thought that was a really interesting article.
And how do you like talking to someone who's calm? Yeah. How does that sound? How do you I like talking to a reasonable person here? Does this feel good just having this conversation and not, like, looking over your shoulders all nervous that you're going to freak out with someone?
Yeah.
There's a thing that was today, and again, because my wife now does editorial cartoons, I'm always thinking of symbolism kind of things. And so there was a tweet today, and it was, like, about Trump, you know, talking about Morning Joe. Did you see this one at all?
I heard about it.
Okay, so here's what's going on with it. Yeah, it was like Trump saying, you know, how these guys, the hosts of Morning Joe are idiots. And it's like Joe and Mika. And he went like, you know, if they don't like me, then why over the Christmas holidays did they come to Mar-a-Lago 3 days in a row and try to get in? And she was all bandaged up from like plastic surgery and bleeding. And I said, no, you can't come in. It's like, that's a really weird story.
Yeah.
That's a weird story. Like, it's like, okay, well, because there's many things you could like. Well, maybe they could separate their work from where they want a vacation. Maybe they were trying to like make a little peace. It was the holidays. That's the kind of thing, time for forgiveness. You turned away a woman who was bleeding from your door. That seems weird. But then I was also thinking like, oh my God, a guy named Joseph and a woman, four letter name, begins with an M, showed up at your inn on Christmas time and you said no. Get away. I was like, my gosh.
What a weird narrative.
Come on now.
That's a person who has problems with...
Like, and then they came 3 days in a row. That's so biblical. Came 3 days in a row.
Like, I don't want to paint...
And then a rooster went, cock-a-doodle, don't!
There is... I don't... You know, we can, like, over-glamorize or over-idealize our own country. Obviously, that's a problem. We're biased.
Sure.
Canada isn't perfect. Prime Minister Trudeau is not... God knows, he's not perfect.
No.
No one is perfect. No leader is going to do exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And no leader is going to even succeed at doing exactly what they want.
And every leader is going to have to do some bad shit.
Yes.
Because they have to.
That's life.
You cannot run an ethical country all the time.
Unfortunately.
You can't. Yes.
And so, yeah. And I mean, and so, you know, our prime minister is a bit of a PR nut.
Sure.
He has a crew of people following him around.
Yeah.
And when he does nice things for people, they are miraculously there to take his picture at that exact moment. You know, and that's a little bit weird, but, you know, he's very aware of how his personal appearance should be and how his public appearance, you know, how his public persona should play out in front of us. And that's the thing, you know, and that's okay, whatever, you know, and the, you know, they're running a ginormous deficit that may bite us in the ass in a few years. We may end up having to elect a government that decides we're going to tighten our belts because spending's going out of control.
Goes back and
that's
forth,
the way it goes, And that's an easier politics. So I'm not saying that what we have is perfect here in Canada. But what I'm saying is this is not a fucking gong show. And that's something that's nice.
Yeah, and also the Canadian way is to say it's not perfect.
Yeah.
We wouldn't ever go, you know.
We don't want to get big heads.
I know. When one of us goes, and we got the greatest country. Look, just think it.
Yeah.
Don't fucking say it. In front of the neighbors.
Yeah, that's right.
That's rude. Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, listen.
Also, you don't want to tell people where the best places to eat are, because then everyone floods in and wants to eat there. You just got to keep it known.
And I understand that there's like PR things that he does, but like, then you see him at the Pride Parade, and there's that picture of him at the Pride Parade where he's like spotting the guy who's in the rainbow turban.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, ah! Like, you know, of course it's a great PR thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the two of them are smiling, they're having a great time in front of the camera. And you're going like,
we don't know that's his friend who was planted there for him to react to.
And even it is. Who gives a shit?
Exactly, because it's a great image.
It's a great message. It's a great message. Image. Right. It's just like, hey, this is great. Yay.
Everyone.
Yeah, woo! Yeah. You know, fuck fear. Right. Fuck all that stuff. I know. And just going back to that tweet real fast, the second thing, which is just an obvious thing, is like, he got mad at them for basically saying he was senile.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's showing signs of dementia, and he's doing these weird, wild tweets. So he makes a weird, wild tweet to show that, I'll show you, I turned you away because you had facial surgery and you're bleeding. So there. Point made.
Yes.
It's like, oh no.
Wow.
And there's a bit like, you know, how much just do you just keep giving rope? What do you do?
But you know,
who knows?
It's but and the thing is though is that who cares? Because people and his supporters don't care.
That's right.
You know, his base doesn't care.
There was a thing, we were watching it today, and again, I don't want to talk too Trumpy, but they, you know, they had all the faces on the screen, Trumpy. All debating their things and doing all this shit. And then there was a thing from Melania that went up, and it's just like, Trump doesn't put up with anything and will always fight back harder. He will always give back harder than what he's given.
Yeah.
And I was reading that, and I was going, oh, well, either one, she's defending her husband, or this is a cry for help. She's like going like, oh, you're aware of this not taking any shit business. Okay. Maybe either way. Well, yeah. I don't know. It feels like in this world, and not just Trump, but no one can get away with anything. You're just so exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're an asshole, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
You just have, you have no shadow to hide in. There's never that.
If you're a celebrity.
Right. You don't even, you know, I mean, you look at like Cosby being able to get away with all this stuff for so long.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and it's like, you don't have that anymore. Even like Johnny Depp right now, you know, with like the charges of like abuse and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, yeah, even, you know, in the oldie days, there you go. But that like nowadays. Been,
yeah.
You just can't.
It's a different world for sure. Like
there's negatives to it, obviously.
Yeah.
A lack of privacy. But there's also, you can't be that kind of like, you know.
Jerk ass jerk.
And also, you're on camera so much and talking so much that you're going to out yourself more often than not with the thing that you say that makes it look like you're defending yourself. Meaning what I'm saying right now is we could really be looking like assholes. You and me. We talk enough that if we're if we're real pricks. That's gonna be out there.
You're right. We've raised the bar. Like you feel like when people write into us that they really like us, like that we're friends of theirs, kind of distant friends that they can like hang out with for a couple hours weekly.
Right.
And they like to listen to us talk to each other.
And you're just worried that they listen to us while they're in the bathroom. Because that's my main worry, right? Isn't that a worry?
My worry, though, more is that there's an ideal idea to our relationship. And our sad reality would only make them very disappointed in us. They would meet us, and then they realize, oh, actually, these guys are just like a couple of normal jerks. Like, they're really nothing special.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that they were really smart, really on the ball, and, you know, were wise beyond their years.
But isn't that better to find out that they're regular people? Like, isn't that different?
You say, I like that you're setting that up for people. I like that you're giving this little out for us, that it's better that they discover this about us.
I think so.
Rather than that we're just like a steaming pile of disappointment. But it's better that we're a steaming pile of disappointment. And I like that you're twisting. I like the narrative that you're adding to this. I think that's good. So I'm going to agree with you. Yes, it is better that people discover that they're heroes or that the people that they admire have clay feet, that we're just humans, that we're just part of the rest of humanity and make just the same dumb mistakes they make. I agree with you.
I'm also constantly shocked at the things I do that people like.
Such as?
Such as like something like the Critical Hit Show.
Yeah?
Something like that.
You think
and
that's...
And I just go like...
Yeah, that's dumb.
Well, it's not that it's dumb.
It's the stupidest thing that I ever heard of.
Well, that sounds...
That's what you're thinking.
No.
Okay.
But I don't know why that... you don't know why certain things catch fire.
Yeah.
And you can make assumptions and go like, okay, well, I think we, you know, we try our best and we do kind of a respectful, funny show. And it was like last night, my sister-in-law was in the audience and she was, it was interesting because she gave me like a little play-by-play of how things were going over.
Yeah,
it was like, there was a couple of newcomers that had never been to the show before. before, and they were with someone else, and they were laughing at different times, but at the end, they really liked it.
Yeah.
And then she heard someone else over the side go, you know the great thing? There's nothing else like this in town.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that I buy. Is like, there is nothing else like this in town.
Sure.
It's a weird show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so weird that people do feel a sense of ownership of it,
yeah.
that it's their weird thing mm-hmm. that they know of, and it's a special thing because of that.
But that's like most things that are that have a cultic element to them are a cultish element to them. Not cultic, cultish element to them.
Celtic element is what you're trying to say.
Well, cultic refers to like religious thing. I don't think this is religious, but I think it has a, you know, that sort of your personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important to you because, you know, it's your thing and you have this connection to it that's very personal between you and that object that you like. And part of what's special about it is that you don't have to share it with a lot of people, you know. And when you have to start sharing it with a lot of people, then you're not that interested in it anymore. You know, so
I think there's a bit of that to this show, though, too. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about us having more success, I think us having success would change our show and would we would lose people that love the show from the very beginning.
Though it's fine.
I was there from the beginning. I came to the show from Ian's appearance on Caustic Soda.
The Beatles like spin-off thing. And like, that goes really well. And it's like, okay, there's so many listeners,
Yeah.
And then you come back to our little show. And we just like, it's just this little thing that we just really do. And yeah, if it got bigger, who the heck knows what it would be like or whatever. And you don't know why. Again,
I would become an asshole.
What's that?
I would become an asshole. That would be the first thing. Because
have at it.
I'm pretty much like teetering on the edge of jerkdom. Constantly. And so I think that just like a little bit of ego food would just be like too much for me.
I wonder if, say, you did, say, the Completely Beatles podcast, if they were a podcast, back when you were a young man, say in your 20s.
I couldn't have done it, but okay.
But you would have like, you know, you would have done it to the best of your ability or whatever. But like, would you have felt like, I am an expert on this? Would you have had that back then?
No.
Or would you have...
It would have really caused me to crash and burn very badly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very badly. Very badly. I can handle it better now. Like now, when people compliment me and call me like a world-renowned Beatles expert or whatever kind of silly things like that.
Yeah. The handsomest Beatles expert.
The handsomest world-renowned Beatles expert.
Yeah. That guy's got great teeth.
Wait. The handsomest world-renowned leading spike ball, work spike ball, points on serve getter expert. Yeah, that would
be. Who also does a Tintin podcast.
Also does a Tintin, also world-renowned Tintin expert. You know, those things, that would really have sent me for a loop as a younger person, just because I would have so much trouble fitting that into myself at that time, terribly self-destructive self-image.
Yeah.
That I would have had trouble, whereas now I can just sort of integrate that in a very simple way, you know, in the fact that partly I have never listened to Completely Beatles.
Mm.
Other than when we did it, I have never actually heard the program.
Well, you should listen to it. It's a pretty good show.
I don't want to.
No, you like the Beatles, right?
There's nothing I hate more than hearing myself talk like an expert. That is so painful for me to listen to. So I don't enjoy it. I enjoy the opening of it. I've heard the opening. It's pretty good. And I've heard a couple of the ends of it. And I think those are pretty good too.
Because
I had to put the music on both top and tail.
Right.
Other than that, I would never want to. I never would want to hear.
I think what you need then to do is this: you need to get it transcribed, and then you need to get Siri to read it to you.
Yeah. Well, what I'd like to do.
Welcome to.
What I think would be great is to be able to afford to hire someone to put music into it, mm-hmm. like edit it and edit in Beatles songs into the show.
Well, I'm sure.
I can't afford that.
No, I'm sure.
And I don't want to do it.
Future point.
Yeah.
We did run that idea by a radio station, and. That may happen in the future. Like, it feels like you've got something here that you could just add these things to.
Yeah.
And so
I think people would like it. Listen. I think listeners would like that. But I just don't have the time or the inclination to listen to my stupid, dumb voice for two or 3 hours adding in music. So, but it's, you know, maybe if we did like a Kickstarter and, you know, with the idea that we could hire, I don't know. I'm just talking at the top of my head for some stupid reason.
Sure.
That's not going to happen, guys. Don't get excited. It's not going to happen. But yeah, that's a possibility. Never a possibility, I should meant to say. That's not a possibility of ever happening. But that would be like...
By the way, this is the way things always happen, by the way. Is it always starts with this? That's always the way it starts, right?
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think... Back
to the
question.
Wright brothers. Well, it's not like we could fly there.
But what a...
Hey, wait a minute. Let's put some wings on these bikes.
I mean, what...
And then their sister actually does all the work. She's the forgotten Wright brother.
Yeah.
She was the Wright sister. Look it up.
I think what was nice about the Completely Beatles... And our show is that we get the right amount of attention. Like, we get just the perfect amount of attention.
You get attention from a distance as well.
We get attention from a distance. We get neglected from a distance. We get whatever. Like, you know, like, we did the show. It's very popular.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the end of it. You know, and that's perfect. Although I was talking to someone a little while ago, and they were right, and we were wrong. When we got invited to London to go to the premiere,
yeah,
we were so stupid, one of us, to not go. Because that was an opportunity of a lifetime, in a way, to go to a premiere or something.
Mm-hmm.
And what the hell? Throw a few bucks at it.
Yeah.
You know.
I did not have the few bucks at that time.
Me neither. I did not have the few bucks either.
That is the Kickstarter we should have done.
But it still would have been kind
of
cool.
It's just like, listen, just fly one of us to England.
You can meet us there. We'll talk to you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. But anyway, yeah. That's...
Yeah,
I don't know where we were talking. I can't remember what this.
By the way,
got
I'm
to,
blanking completely on. It's the name of a Beatles album. It's also the studio. What is it? Begins with an E.
Abbey Road.
Abbey Road, of course. E. Yeah, Abbey Road. Abbey Road.
Abbey Road.
I wanted at some point you to go to Abbey Road and go through all their.
It's weird. See, here's the weird thing. I've been to London. I've been to London many times.
Right.
I've been
but
to
for
Liverpool.
Heists.
I've been to Liverpool.
Always for heists.
But I am not a tourist sort of a person. Like,
no,
I'm
no,
not
no, no,
comfortable.
No. No, this would be business.
In tours.
This would not be tourist. Mm. This would be business.
Business.
You would be going like, listen, I want to do a follow up for this podcast thing.
Okay.
And so like I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna ask you some deep fucking questions.
That's making me excited to think about it. Like, talking to like Giles Martin and like getting really deep
yes.
cuts. That would be fun.
That's what we do the Kickstarter for, was to get you over there. So we'll talk about that. So anything else you want to say about Canada? It's all right.
It's the greatest place to live.
It's pretty good.
But don't tell anyone.
You know what's really nice? And I'll tell you this much. I love going to the tap. I love turning on the water.
Yeah.
I love drinking a glass of water.
Sure. It's good
and
water
you,
here.
Yeah. And you go like.
But that's more Vancouver. Like if you go to like Salmon Arm or the Okanagan, it's not the same flavor.
All right. You go back east, it's pretty good. Montreal water's not bad. Halifax water, that's a nice glass of water.
Yeah, yeah. Anywhere you can have like, it just depends on where the water's stored and how the water comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we have water here. That's fucking great, for sure.
Yeah, water's pretty great.
Water's pretty great. That's a pretty good part of Canada.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, did I tell the folks my fighting crime stories last week? Our casual fighting crime stories?
What's that?
Well, I was sitting on my stoop.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry, yeah. You had someone tearing copper wire out of the house next door.
And there's copper wire out of the house next door.
And then a jerk trying to break into cars.
Yeah, that's right. So we had that. Turns out it looks like it was the same guy.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why I knew, because a couple of days later, I'm walking home from a 7-Eleven.
Nice.
And he comes around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 4 in the morning.
Oh.
And we don't recognize each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh. It's like we got and he's on his bike. And then we both start to recognize each other. And I'm like a couple of blocks from my house.
Yeah.
And it actually is creepy for a while. And I'm like, how do I fucking get home here? And how do we do whatever?
Yeah.
But nothing ended up happening. But it just made me think, like, what a Canadian crime thing is like. Oh, I just ran into the criminal. The guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you know, we were having the car thing, it was just like, hey, stop breaking into cars. No, okay. I'm just going through a hard time. I know, but don't be doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, to an American who was watching, it was just like, why haven't you got your gun out? Why aren't there threatening? Why aren't there swears?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on? It's just like the most casual, hey, doing that B&E next door. Knock it off. All right. Gotta hear you.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to call the police. I understand. Okay, then. Off you go.
Can I just say one other great thing about Canada? We have talked about this before.
We're bilingual. And
I
French
love,
is a
I
sexy
love,
language.
I love the fact that we're bilingual.
It makes breakfast cereal look so much smarter when you got to see what the Lucky Charms guy is saying in French and think like he's still saying it in that accent.
I am not bilingual. I'm bioptical. And by that, I mean I can read in two languages.
Uh-huh.
But no, the other great thing about our country, besides the fact that we're bilingual, which is great, I love the fact that we're bilingual. I'm sorry that I resented French in school as much as I did. I don't think I resented French. I just have resented being in school and having to do things. But French, the fact that we're bilingual is fantastic. The fact that we have the metric system is fantastic. But here's the thing. The fact that our Slurpees are way better than American Slurpees.
Yes.
Is 100% fantastic. Like, I'm sorry, America. I know we've had Americans come and visit us. Hello, Mary Hook. She did not agree with me that our Slurpees were better. But I have a feeling that she doesn't drink many Slurpees.
No, I don't either.
And so I don't think she's coming at it from a point of view of an expert.
She doesn't realize that American Slurpees are these weird pebbles.
Yeah.
Instead of
and it's carbonated.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bitter taste.
Consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a consistency to ours.
Yeah, ours are sweet.
Yeah.
With a little bit of syrupy flavor to them. Theirs are bitter because they have like the carbonated gas infused into the ice. And then it has like a slight Coke or whatever flavor to it. But it's not enough to like get over the fact that it's kind of sharp.
Yeah, there's some real issues.
And ours is like fucking 100 times better. So I'm sorry to tell you that, America. You may have been around a bit longer than us. You may have fought for our freedom, and we merely negotiated for our our liberty. We might be
like speaking German now if it wasn't for you. But look, by the way, German's a nice language. I mean, the Nazi thing would have been terrible.
Yeah, that would have been terrible.
You know what? We would have beat the Nazis by now anyway. We would have done it. Even if they took over us, yeah. We would have gone, fuck that. We would have like gone after them.
I don't want to brag about Canada, but we fought some hard battles.
Darn tootin'.
Battles of the Shell. Like, people are fighting, like, the dikes. Like, on dikes. We fought the Germans on dikes. Canadians. Like, ran along dike surfaces. Like, there was nowhere to go but straight ahead on a dike. We fought the Germans.
Yeah.
We fought against machine guns on dikes.
Also, if you ever want to know, like, as Americans, and this is, of course, I'm being a broad stereotyper.
Yeah.
If you're fighting in a just war or not,
yeah.
See if we're already there. We show up there, go like, hey, are there Canadians here? Yeah, they've been here a while. Ah, well, there we go.
Yeah. To this day, Dutch children go and tend to the graves of the Canadian soldiers because they recognize what a huge sacrifice Canadians made. The fact that it was such a huge sacrifice was also because of the stupid Allied command, which made the Canadians stop and wait a week before they went into free Holland and allowed the Germans to set up a bunch of machine guns and get stuff ready for us. That wasn't very nice, but okay. We still won.
So there. I got one dumb thing to bring up before we wrap up. It's a dumb thing. But the other day I was watching...
What, the Serbian thing wasn't dumb?
No, because you then got into a really solemn thing with the Dutch kids laying flowers on graves. That was a smooth transition, man. Good. And that's why Dutch children put Slurpees on graves of Canadian soldiers to this day.
Yes.
And go like, we'll split the cost of this.
Yeah.
Because we are Dutch. what I was going to say is, like, I was watching The Simpsons the other day.
Okay.
Okay.
And, an old one or a new one?
You know, it does not matter for the sake of this. As you know, I write for The Simpsons, and I've thought about The Simpsons. The Simpsons have lived in my head for many years, 15 years at
true.
Least.
Yeah.
And I realized something about The Simpsons that I had not realized about the Simpsons
interesting.
Universe.
Okay.
The Simpsons have four fingers, including their thumbs, on each hand.
Yeah.
What this means, David, is that math in The Simpsons world is base 8.
Okay. Yeah. Base 8. Base 16, because of their toes.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And so in Canada, that means the Canadian metric system would be based on eights instead of tens.
Yeah. Wouldn't be as good.
No. Also, it means that whenever you hear measurements
in
the Simpsons world.
Because here's the thing.
That's you've got to, like, adjust.
Yeah.
It's different. Very different.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Eights is essentially the imperial system.
Oh, my God. You just blew my fucking mind.
But it's true, right? Like the like 1/8 and
oh my god, Dave,
16th and
you've won this
and 32nd.
You've won this episode.
Didn't it was a contest, anyway, but
happy birthday, Canada!
Yay for Canada!
Yep,
happy 150 years.
150th anniversary of years. Confederation.
Since a bunch
everybody
of
everybody sing together,
a Canada. Bunch of white guys are together, and they all signed a piece of paper and agreed that we should be one country united by a railroad. We sold out to the railroad, but hey, our country was founded by fur traders.
And the Greasy Beaver Act. Okay. That was a real act that we had. Dave, why don't you wrap up the
Greasy
show?
Beaver Act?
Yeah.
Did not know about it.
Really?
Sounds sexy.
Oh, that got a lot of laughs when we were in social studies class.
Maybe I missed that day. Everybody, I'll tell you
we'll
a little.
Talk more about the Greasy Beaver Act next week.
I can tell you a little secret, everyone. But all our shows together, all our episodes together.
Including the spin-off shows.
Including our spin-off shows. Everything we've done. We've had
including Completely Beatles, Totally Tintin, Tremendously Three's Company.
Yep.
Really Rockford Files.
Oh.
All of our series that we've done.
What? Really Rockford
Completely
Files?
Completely Captain
sounds...
Scarlet.
Oh, that's another good one. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Fantastically Fireball XL5. Superbly Stingray. We just did all the Merry Nation shows, everyone. If you haven't seen Merry Nation, you should watch it. Your mind will be blown.
Okay, but sorry for interrupting your thing. All of our shows
combined. All the shows combined. We've had over 500,000 people listen to us. Or at least 500,000 times you've listened to our show. So we thank you for that, because that is a big number. That shows that people actually like want to sit and listen to us, as weird as that sounds. Don't be put off by that number, though. We are still a cult. We are still a small-time business, a little corner store just for you, everyone.
You know what else was a cult? Christianity.
Christianity.
And where are they now?
All things are cults. All religion is cultic in some way.
Including the band.
Including the
cult.
Including the band, the cult. Electric. Guys, you can contact us to tell us how much you like the band The Cult at at our website. It's sneakydragon.com. We have a bulletin board there. You can write to us. Love to read your remarks and love to read your comments and suggestions and things that you have to say, funny jokes that you want to make back to us. Love it. You can contact us on Twitter. It's sneaky_dragon. And once again, we'd love to hear from you there. Makes us happy every time. And we have a Facebook page called Sneaky Dragon, and that is also a place that you can contact us and say things to us. And someone kindly invited us to a birthday party. I thought that was very nice.
That's in America, though, right?
That is in America.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I think those same people also offered me cats.
Okay.
I'm like, and they were beautiful cats. They were beautiful mm-hmm. cats.
But you're just not there yet.
Firstly, I'm not there yet, and also I don't think I can bring cats from America.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think that might be an issue.
You
can't just go there, grab cats, and bring them over, even with all the paperwork.
You can sneak them across the border using a catapult. You can also contact us via email at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. And not Tinder? Tumblr. We have a Tumblr page.
Yeah, Dave and I are both on Tinder. We're talking about what great relationship guys we are, we're both trying to cheat on our wives.
I let that
so
slip.
Just check out us on Tinder.
That's right. I have an account on Ashley Madison. Everyone,
I don't even know if that still exists.
No, that's why I went. It's small time now. I only like things that are cultic. Oh
my God,
cultish. We also what else we have? We have Patreon.
Yeah.
Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. It does help us a lot. It costs money every month for us to post the shows and host the shows and have a website. And so your money helps pay for our people like keeping us safe from viruses and backing up our site and like I say, hosting the shows and posting them. Those are all like cost us money.
Yeah,
so
and Dave's pinky rings.
And my little Coke spoon for drinking Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of a big spoon.
Well, it's more of a ladle. More of a ladle. American Slurpee Coke. You got to really dig in there with that spoon.
Let's not go there.
Your act together, Southam Corporation.
Yeah, come
in America.
On. Come on. And so on that note, on that strangely angry note, we will all wish you adieu and we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Song or the catapult joke. I fix it in editing.
I'm not gonna listen to my voice again.